All right. Well, welcome to a very special episode of The Breakdown with Benson Varghese and Josh Hoover. Welcome, gentlemen. We have a really exciting conversation about leadership and power and competitive edge. Josh, obviously, as an incredibly competitive collegiate athlete and a local football star, Benson as the managing partner of Varghese Somerset. We're going to start off with a couple of questions about leadership. And Josh, I'll start with you. So when we're talking about the football field, what really stands out to you as a necessity in leadership?
I think the thing playing quarterback is just being able to cater to a lot of different personalities. You have to deal with 100 guys on the team and know how to motivate each and every guy. And not everyone responds the exact same way either. Some guys you have to get onto them. Some guys you have to be more loving and gentle with the way you approach them. And so I think the challenge is just finding out how to get that response out of each person and then executing that in the proper timing in the right place.
I mean, that's beautifully said. And I know, Benson, at your firm, you think you have a large team with about 70 people, but Josh has got you beat with this football team.
I am incredibly impressed with not just the size of the team, but the maturity that you have. Those are skills that, you know, we kind of have to learn on the fly as our team grows, but you're thrust into this position where you're asked to do it immediately.
Well, and Benson, maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, the education that you think is necessary and how proactive you need to be as a leader in educating yourself on these skills.
In so many ways, I think a leader is setting an example. And so what I always try to do myself is to commit to grow constantly. So as you know, I'm always reading or listening to podcasts or listening to a leader on YouTube, so that I can grow and learn. Because if people see that I'm interested in getting better, it's much easier to say, hey, I want you to come on this journey with me. It's not me telling you how to do things, but we're always trying to improve and understanding that it's not improving to get to a set finish line like that. It just keeps...
You're going to keep moving the goalposts.
Absolutely, I am.
For lack of a better term. And just to piggyback on that, Josh, is there anything that you engage with in terms of educating yourself on leadership or leadership styles that you have found to be really impactful, whether it's a podcast or a book?
Well, reading the New Testament, reading the gospel, listening to watching how Jesus did it and just the way he did it in the New Testament and trying to incorporate that. And then also there's a lot of guys, you know, Max Duggan, a guy able to watch my freshman year. Talk to him a lot about his leadership styles, the way he does things. You know, coaches, our strength coach, Kaz Kazadi, he's been a huge impact on my life and it's been great for me. And so I think just asking those people about, kind of like what I talked about, just reaching guys and getting guys to be motivated in certain ways and just kind of reaching a certain goal for the team. And so it's a challenge. And every day you wake up and you try to learn. And I listen to podcasts and listen to other quarterbacks talk about, you know, their strategies. But it's a never-ending process, and I just keep trying to find more and more resources to be better.
Yeah, and it, I mean, like you said, it's really not a one-size-fits-all, you know, mentality. There's a lot of adjustments that are made by reaching people on that human level. So what does preparation look like for you guys? And Benson, I'll start with you. Whenever you're stepping into a high-stakes moment, whether that's a jury trial or a negotiation or a mediation of some sort that, you know, there's a lot on the line. Is there something that you do to prepare for that?
Absolutely. So I've taken an assessment that tells me I'm a fact finder, and that's very true. I like to know everything I possibly can about the situation, about the parties involved. It's kind of like watching tape and seeing how other people play. I want to know who my opponent is or who the people in the room are. We're talking about juries. I'll have read those questionnaires and understood as much about those jurors as I possibly can before we ever walk into the courtroom. And if I'm going to a new court in a different jurisdiction, for example, before my setting, I'll try to go out there a week ahead of time to watch how the judge operates, because you never want to go in a critical moment and for the first time learn about the environment. And you want to make friends with people there. You want to understand how the equipment in the courtroom works. Those are the things that give you an edge.
What about you, Josh?
It goes back to preparation in the film room. You know, your first week, first day you're going to play somebody, you go in and you watch. I always watch explosive plays first, watch other teams doing great things against them, you know, trying to get that vision in my head of what we're about to go do. And then
like, these are all the things that could happen to you if you don't execute. Yeah,
I like to try and it's watching them throw touchdowns and have big plays and envisioning the success against them. Mm-hmm. So that's something I always do first. And then I go in and watch all the base downs. So first down and second down, watch the open field, see their coverages, their blitzes, when they like to blitz, how much time's on the clock when they blitz, you know, what's their personnel, who's in the game, who are their players. And then you work the next day on Wednesday, you watch third down, you watch third and long, third and short, third and medium, all these situations, get a feel for what they're going to do. You learn your game plan as the week goes on, you figure out how you're going to incorporate your game plan and match it up to what they do to make you have the best advantage. And then as you get closer to the game, you just start kind of focusing on what you're going to do. I'll still go and watch a couple games, kind of getting ready for the game. And then on game day, study your notes, study your stuff. And then at some point, you got to put it away and just trust yourself and go play football. So that's kind of what a week looks like for me.
Well, it's a busy week. I mean, it certainly sounds like you spend as much time off the field preparing for that day as you do on it, practicing.
Oh, more time.
Yeah. So and you kind of echoed that a little bit, Benson, in your answer, that preparation and being thorough. Knowing your opponent, knowing the players in the courtroom is every bit as important as the facts you may walk in with.
Absolutely.
So where do you think that your competitive edge comes from?
I think my parents and maybe just the way I've always been. I grew up in a competitive family. My dad played football in college in the pros. My grandfather played college pros. And my mom's not very athletic, but she's really competitive. So I know she definitely catered to that a little bit. But growing up, you know, sports was always big and just enjoyed competing and everything I did, baseball, football, basketball. And so I think it's just from an early age, I've just had the desire to compete and it's never really left.
So when you say your mom is not very athletic, but is very competitive, what would she compete in?
In the stands. When watching the game, she's all locked in and she's more competitive and wants us to do good. Just about as much as anybody. So
does she give it to you after? Like,
no, nah, it depends. You know, growing up, if she thought she had something to say that we need to hear, she would 100% give us her mind. But
yeah,
no, she's always been super supportive and just wanted to love on us and care for us and do what she could to encourage us and, you know, just help us reach our goals.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Benson, we hear a lot that attorneys are fungible, right? I mean, an attorney is an attorney is an attorney. Find one you can afford and move on. Do you feel that way? And if not, why?
Absolutely do not feel that way. And you know what? Frankly, we've heard it from judges. We've had judges tell us after outcomes that that was not the outcome they expected when they walked in the courtroom. And we have gotten outcomes that they themselves thought they'd never see happen. That comes from a number of things. One, we don't operate in volume. When I talk about out-preparing my opponent, it's true because I do have the luxury of time. I'm going to dig in as deep as I need to be the most prepared person in that courtroom. That preparation ultimately helps you, but also the people on your team help you. We have some of the world's best trial attorneys at the firm, and that really sets us apart because between preparation, talent, and people skills, you can accomplish a lot. And it's not just the facts. It's what you do with them, how you present them, how much you're willing to investigate. It is so often the case that because of our diligence, we found something that other people missed, including other defense attorneys. We've picked up cases that other attorneys had for 3 years, a month or two before trial. And in that month or two, we uncovered far more than they did in 3 years. And that's how we get the outcomes we get.
When you kind of mentioned your expert team and your team of trial lawyers, is that what you would consider your competitive edge in the space?
Certainly, it's one of them.
And you, Josh, you know, with your team, do you look at the other players on your team and you say, this is part of my competitive edge as a quarterback, is how well I work with this receiver, or how well I work with these linemen?
100%. It kind of goes, you know, the same both ways. You're only going to be as good as people around you. As a quarterback, you can't snap the ball to yourself, catch it, throw it, do everything. You got to have those 10 guys. And that's why it's the ultimate team sport, is because it takes all 11 guys at one time to be on the exact same page to have any success. And so you're really just relying on the people around you. And as a quarterback, you know, sometimes you just get too much credit when things go right. You know, I think that's sure. Quarterbacks are kind of in the center of the attention. They get all the credit. But a lot of guys around us, I mean, you can't do anything without those 5 guys up front and then the receivers and running backs. So it's a team sport, and that's why everyone loves it.
And I think certainly as a leader, Josh, you have to feel to a certain extent, it's your responsibility to raise the bar for everybody on the team, to push everybody forward, to pull everybody up. But do you ever feel like there are members of your team that do that for you?
I do. I feel like there's guys that help encourage me, even when, you know, sometimes it's, I feel like I'm the guy that's having to do a lot of that. And sometimes you get to a point where it's like, you need a little pick me up. And then there's somebody that comes by and kind of boosts you up a little bit. And so there's definitely been guys on the team that have been there for me. I remember as a younger player, there were older guys that kind of brought me under their wing and kind of carried me with them as they were elevating. And similar to what you talked about earlier, just bringing people along with you, not saying, hey, this is how you do it, but showing them. And there are people that certainly did that for me. And so I'm super appreciative for those guys and the older players that came along before I did.
And so you kind of feel this desire to, if not obligation, to bring up the next generation of players.
Yes.
On your team.
100%. Yeah. I see the young guys, freshmen, as an opportunity to showcase that leadership and show these guys, hey, this is the way. This is, if you're going to be successful, it's got to be done this way. And I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to bring you with me. That's the challenge of playing quarterback, is figuring out how each guy, how you're going to get that message across, you know, to get these guys to buy in and come on with you.
Well, I think, Benson, too, as it relates to the law firm, you guys take a similar approach when it comes to mentorship in terms of having new attorneys on staff who come alongside your senior trial attorneys. What do you think is so important about that mentorship?
You know, if we look at our own careers, we have people that we've looked up to as great trial attorneys or great leaders. And that helped mold us. And so we want to do the same. When we get the opportunity to pair a younger lawyer with a more seasoned attorney, we know we're accelerating their career path. It's not that perhaps they wouldn't get there, but what might be done in 5 years can now be done in 18 months because they have the right mentor.
Well, and there's also a value add there, right? I mean, you've got younger players in your scenario and younger lawyers in yours that bring different things to the table, maybe a different perspective on something, maybe a new idea on how to train, a new idea on how to present evidence. And I think keeping yourself involved in that newness and that ever-changing aspect of the game can be really important to growth. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, kind of how you guys prepare, what you think about leadership, what teamwork looks like in terms of a competitive edge. And sometimes what that feels like it boils down to is discipline. So I want to talk a little bit about discipline. How do you really define discipline in your arena, Josh, in the football field? And why is it critical to your success?
I think, you know, everyone throws the word discipline around, but as a football player, discipline and being great, what people talk about, they say, oh, you get great through all the discipline, doing the same thing over. It's, to me, it's about doing the boring thing over and over and over and being consistently good at it. You know, it's not about how much talent you have. It's how willing are you to do the boring stuff that no one else is going to do. You know, how willing are you to stretch 5 times a day? Most people stretch once, maybe twice a day, but how many guys are actually doing the boring stuff that it takes to be great? And so I think discipline just comes down to just being consistent at what you do and being consistent at the little things. And that's kind of the details that carry you along and make you the great player you ever wants to be.
Well, and you can almost find an edge in knowing that you're doing something in this moment that nobody else is doing. And do you see a parallel in that with your law firm, Benson?
Yeah, absolutely. To kind of build on that idea that the devil is in the details, but what people notice are the big outcomes, right? You've got to be willing to spend the time in the details. But to build on that, I think you also have to be comfortable with failure, right? People don't notice the things that you're doing constantly that aren't grand successes, but those things help you build the skills and the strength you need to get to where you're going. You know, having young children, it's exciting to see their growth where they're just now getting into sports and they start off and they probably, they probably got their lack of athleticism from me. And so you see where they start, but within a year, how much they've grown. And the key to that growth in that little microcosm was not letting them give up. Right, the same is true in business. It's all the things you're doing every day that are both mundane, but might be stumbles that you've just got to keep getting up from.
Well, and when we keep failure in mind in terms of maybe the fear of failure and how that puts pressure on us, especially if we're competitive, how do you deal with pressure in a way that's constructive?
Yeah, I think fear of failure is actually a good thing. You know, I think we talk about that a lot with our strength coach about the fear of failure, and it's actually a great motivator for us. But if you let it, it can kind of capture your whole personality, your whole why, and that's not a great thing. You know, you wanted to keep it bottled up in a place where you can kind of tap into it, but it doesn't drive everything you do. And so I think for me, handling that pressure just goes back to doing your job. You know, every time I'm in a critical situation, I step back, take a deep breath, say, all right, just do your job. Just trust the guys around you, do your job. You don't have to do anything more than that. And so I think that always kind of brings me back to baseline, allows me to relax and then just make plays on the field because I'm not trying to do too much. You know, sometimes we get in those critical spots and we think, oh, I've got to do something extra, or I've got to make some great play or make some great decision, you know, and it just goes back to doing your job in the critical moments. And if you're really prepared, like we talked about, in the critical moments, you're going to shine because you're prepared and you're going to do your job at a high level.
You mentioned tapping into your why and how fear of failure can be a reason to motivate, but it can't be the only or even the major reason to motivate. So if I were to ask you, what is your why? What do you say?
It's really, I would say just, I love playing quarterback. I love playing football because of the opportunity I have to make relationship with guys and impact people I'm playing with. I mean, like at the end of the day on my deathbed, I want people to say, I don't want them to say, oh, he was a great quarterback. I want them to say, oh, he was the greatest teammate, the greatest guy to be around. He impacted my walk with the Lord. He did this and this. And if the best thing they say about me is I could throw a football, and then I didn't do anything right. So yeah. My why is obviously I love football. I love competing, but it's beyond that. It's a platform that I think God's given me to impact other people. And so that's where I see it. And that's what I want it to be. And talked about later on in life, just leaving a lasting legacy that's bigger than playing football.
Yeah. Well, and that's really powerful. And I know, Benson, you've talked about this, you know, with your firm, that while results and being driven by the results in a case are obviously incredibly important when it comes to legal work, so is every bit as important, and that is the client journey, which is really what the client experiences when they're going through the legal process, specifically in working with the attorneys at Burgee Somerset. So can you tell us a little bit about why you feel like that's important and what about that builds your legacy in the legal space?
Absolutely. So the families we affect, and I include in that list the families affected because a member or members of their family work here, are the reasons I get up every day, right? When we go out into the community and we see someone who is a thriving member of society who comes up and gives us a hug because of the impact we made in their life. When a coworker brings their kids up to work, those are things that tell me we've made an impact, that we are special to them because of the work that we do. It's not about the results in the courtroom. That's not what drives me, but the impact we make on people. The why behind that is I was very, very poor, and in India, being poor is equated to being very low on the social ladder, and we had very little. We were nobodies. We were nobodies who no one would give a chance to. And so the fact that we could have this opportunity to give others opportunity to make an impact in a community that we love is everything to me. And, you know, that's the example that our boys are going to see. And ultimately, the idea that, you know, how we impact people in our lives is just so important.
Well, and we've, you know, as we kind of wrap up here with the breakdown, we've talked about a lot of things that I think are really empowering, you know, whether it's leadership or perseverance or, you know, teamwork and dedication to making a difference and having a lasting legacy. But I know deep down, both of you guys are like killers. So when we're talking about your competitive edge or what you do when you're on the football field and how you drive that winning touchdown or how you get the verdict and how you get the justice that you feel like your clients deserve. Is there something about the way that you execute that you feel like makes your opponents realize they are not going to win?
I'll let you go first.
I feel like as a quarterback, the guys who are successful, when they walk in the room, everybody notices them, right? The energy in the room changes. You're able to bring guys along with you, like we talked about. It's almost like that it factor that certain people have that allow you to just seem to find a way and find a way to win, find a way to make that play, find a way to get things done. And I think my whole life I've tried to be that guy. I tried to be the person that makes a difference when I walk in a room, makes a difference in guys' lives, makes a difference in their confidence. Instill confidence in people to give them the opportunity to go make plays and reach their capabilities. And so I think just doing that and trying to be that person has kind of allowed me to step into that role and just have that mindset, that competitive mindset that I'm going to win. I'm going to figure out a way to win, and whatever it takes, we're going to get it done.
Well, you're humble enough to say, I try to be that guy. I mean, you are that guy, right? I think we all see that when we come watch games, and I know we'll see that this season. Benson, what about you?
I mean, I certainly hope that I leave people wondering, how does he have enough hours in the day to do all the things that he does? But bigger picture, it's not intimidation that I'm looking for. I think we have both commented on the fact that we have changed the legal space in our community. And in doing so, we've raised the bar, right? If I'm trying to get this firm to provide a level of service that no one has provided before, the only way for people to compete is to match us or try to match us. What does that do for the community? That means everyone's getting better legal service, or a lot more people are getting legal service. So in that sense, I think the competitive nature of, yes, I want to be the best, only pushes other people. I mean, 11 years, this is just impossible to believe. 11 years ago when we started, there were still attorneys in the yellow pages, right? The market's changed. We have forced a lot of things to change. The level of service has changed, and that's all good for the general public.
Well, I think that's beautifully put, and I'll just end by saying, really appreciate you guys, especially you, Josh, sitting down. I get to talk to you all the time. We're married. But I appreciate you sitting down with us and talking to us a little bit about, you know, the insights that you have, not just on playing ball, but being a good guy, being a great leader, and the impact that you can make, not just on your team, but on the community. So really appreciate you being here. Good luck this season. And that's it for this episode of The Breakdown.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.